This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It is the third hour of our show. It is the final hour. We've got the Gas House Gang coming up at 12 with manager Ollie Marmol of the St. Louis Cardinals. He is with us for the first half of the show, taking your questions, taking questions from Bernie, Tom Ackerman, and me. So we hope you'll stick around for that show at 12 o'clock and Ollie Marmol. But we go to the guest line this morning because it was, what, 78 years ago last month that Jackie Robinson made his major league debut. And it was just a couple of weeks ago, actually less than a week ago, that a new book has come out. It is entitled Play Harder, The Triumph of Black Baseball in America. And the author of that book, also professor of African and African-American studies at Wash U, Gerald Early, is with us on KMOX. It is good to talk to you. How are you, Gerald?
I'm very good. Thank you so much.
Congratulations on the book, and I know this is, it's not like you're new to something like this. You've been doing this a long time. You've consulted on some really great documentaries like Ken Burns Baseball and Jazz and so many that he's done. But what does this work, in particular, how special is this one to you?
This one is particularly special because it was done in conjunction with the National Baseball Museum and Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. It's in connection with a new black baseball exhibit that opened there last year. And this book is meant to accompany that. I was involved with being a consultant for that exhibit. So this book is particularly special to me because of my involvement with the exhibit.
Well, and as you mentioned, as you talk about in your book, baseball is so much more than just a sport, especially when it comes to the black players in baseball. And no sport has been so connected to social change as baseball has been. So baseball and black baseball players are a huge part of American history.
Yes, they are a huge part of American history. They're a huge part of black American history because black people invested so much in creating baseball teams and in creating baseball leagues. And they're the only sport that black people developed to that extent of having several highly professional leagues. So it's the sport means a great deal historically to black people, and black people were very invested in it, in producing players and also producing fans for the sport.
You know, one of the I know it progress takes some time, and it took a long time to get Jackie Robinson into Major League Baseball, to get him, you know, to have that debut with the Dodgers. and then all these great players that came after, and then the acknowledgement of the Negro League statistics, which they finally integrated with the Major League Baseball statistics. And I think most baseball fans were on board with that. How important was it that those statistics from the leagues with players who weren't allowed to play in the major leagues, how important was it for that to, that finally to happen?
Oh, that was very important because finally it gave those players legitimacy and the quality of baseball they played. It was given legitimacy by being included with major league stats. And also Negro Leagues themselves were finally given legitimacy because for so long it was thought they were dismissed as, oh, you know, Negro Leagues, that really wasn't organized baseball. But now with the this recognition, now the Negro Leagues are they're seen as the equivalent of white organized baseball. So all those things were just really important in showing that the Negro Leagues were really an achievement that all Americans should be proud of, that black people played baseball so consistently and with so much fervor and commitment for as long as they did.
You know, when I was really young, like a teen, younger than maybe, you know, 13, 14 years old, I read October 1964, David Halberstam's book about the Cardinals and the Yankees World Series. And I felt like I thought I was reading a baseball book as a kid, but it opened my eyes to the daily experiences of black players in the major league, in the major leagues, like as late as the 60s and 70s, which is not that long ago to be facing that much discrimination and racism. Does your book kind of explore those individuals and just the challenges that they faced on a daily basis?
Yes, the book goes up to today, really, and what black players and black fans of baseball are doing mm-hmm. today. So, yes, it does look at the we do look at the Cardinals. The Cardinals were the 64 Cardinals. The Cardinals of the 1960s were a pretty revolutionary team in the number of black players. It was a very diverse team. And so they really broke a lot of ground. But it was difficult because there was still segregation in the country into the 1960s. And there was still problems with people where they could stay and where they could eat. Even into the 1960s, people kind of think it was all over then, but it really wasn't. So that book, Halberstam's book, is a very good one, and I certainly would recommend people reading it, along with my own.
Yeah, and the book we're talking about today is called Play Harder, The Triumph of Black Baseball in America. So does it... I know things are different now than they were in the 60s, certainly different than they were in the late 40s and into the 50s. Do you feel like enough progress has been made in terms of what we're talking about now?
Oh, I think progress has been made, but it's disappointing that there are not as many black American players playing the game as there was, let's say, 30 years ago. And that's a little disconcerting that black players, black athletes seem alienated from the game or not as engaged with the game. To Major League Baseball's credit, they really are making serious efforts to try to re-engage young black athletes, young black kids to play baseball more now. The football and basketball are, of course, the big games for black kids right now. And those games are kind of baked into black culture, black school culture, and so forth in a way that baseball isn't anymore. And that's really a shame because the game means so much historically to black people. So I hope that their efforts will pay off and, you know, we'll see more black Americans playing the game in the years to come. It's increasing a little bit, but the hope is that there'll be a bigger increase and that there'll be a bigger increase in black fans also engaging the game.
There is the Cardinals RBI program, which is a Major League Baseball initiative, and that was started years ago, but the Cardinals have their own. Each team does. And RBI is the Reviving Baseball in Inner Cities program, which does try the outreach and to get kids in those communities to want to play the sport. What is the greatest challenge of getting young black kids interested in baseball as opposed to some of the others? Because it's almost like they like what they like. People like what they like, right? So how do you change their minds and introduce them to a new sport?
Well, it is true that people like what they like, but also it has something to do with the degree of exposure. If baseball is not played as much in black schools, and they don't have organized teams in black schools for baseball as much as they do with basketball and football, it's a matter of exposure. So if kids aren't exposed to it, if they aren't exposed to it with sandlot games, if they aren't exposed with it with traveling teams and so forth, then, of course, they never get to play it. And a kid may like baseball in some ways. How can a kid really judge if you're going to like baseball if you've never really had much of an opportunity to play it, and mostly what you've been exposed to is basketball and football, and those are the games that you tend to want to play. So it becomes a kind of circle, becomes a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. You play what you've been exposed to. If you haven't been exposed to baseball very much, you won't play it. So I think it's the key is to expose kids to the game. And, well, that isn't easy, but I think it certainly is possible to do that. After all, think about in the Dominican Republic, in Venezuela, in Puerto Rico, in Mexico, there are black kids there who love the game and play the game. So I don't think it's a thing of, oh, well, they don't like the game. I think they would like the game if they were exposed to it more.
Was exposure always an issue, or has the ascendance of travel ball, for instance, just made the sport and other sports more unreachable for some kids?
Well, that's part of the exposure thing, is that it is unreachable for a lot of kids because of the expense. So it becomes more difficult for people from the lower end to be able to access it because of the expense. So, yeah, that's a good point. That certainly plays into it, that people from the lower end are going to go, one, with the sports that the people around them approve of and like, and two, they're going to avoid the sport that's going to cost them more money, or it's going to put them through more difficulties and more challenges to be able to play it. And so that once again gets to a matter of both exposure and access. And I think there's less of it for young black kids with baseball than with other sports right now.
We are talking about your book, Play Harder, about the triumph of black baseball in America. And I know I'm jumping all over the place here, but the recent game at Rickwood Field to honor the Negro Leagues, when Reggie Jackson who was talking with like A-Rod and Derek Jeter about the racism that he faced, it was such a poignant moment. I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that, on Rickwood Field, and as your book is subtitled, like The Triumph of Black Baseball in America, because I can't ever put myself in that position. I don't know how I would have not lost my mind or tried to fight somebody, you know, in the face of what those players were hearing and dealing with. I think I would have lost my mind.
Well, I think that black people have many challenges that they've had to deal with in this country. That they were able to succeed the way they succeeded in baseball is really the triumph, and that people ought to recognize it as an incredible achievement. The fact that there were obstacles, and the fact that there were hardships, and the fact that there were things that people had to overcome, even as recently as a player like Reggie Jackson talking about his particular experiences and the like. And Jackson talked about this even during the time when he was playing. It was a big cover story that he did about problems in baseball, particularly with management and so forth. That was a big cover story back in the 80s in Sports Illustrated. The thing is that these sorts of things have been challenges for black people, but black people have managed to overcome them. And I think that that's the important thing. is that the people didn't lose their minds, mm-hmm. that Reggie Jackson didn't lose his mind, that those guys stayed with it and they committed themselves and they overcame. And because it was very important to them to achieve, not only for themselves, but for their people as well. And so I think that that's an incredible story, is that people didn't break despite the pressures that they were under. They didn't break.
What is, as we look at baseball and the future of it, what would be your goal for the game?
My goal for the game would be for people to, for one, for Black people to reengage with it. I would like for Americans generally to reengage with the game a little bit more than they are now. I think that football, collegiate and professional, has become a dominant sport here in the United States. And I'd like to see people reengage more with baseball. Baseball is such a lovely game. It's a beautiful game to watch. And it means so much to the United States. It's the oldest team sport that we have. It's the sport that really has kept races apart, but it also brought races together. And sometimes bringing them together wasn't easy, but it happened. And in some ways, it became a path breaker for other sports and for other things that happen in our society. So what I like to see is just for Americans to rededicate themselves to following baseball and to supporting baseball, not only on the professional level, but also with kids and with seeing kids playing and so forth. I'd like to see that happen.
Well, baseball is very important in this town, and so I think they will embrace this book. It is called Play Harder, The Triumph of Black Baseball in America. Gerald Early is the professor of it, professor at Washington University. We appreciate it, and we thank you so much for this, and good luck with this book.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji with you. You can visit the show, 314-436-7900. Don't forget, the Gas House Gang. We are going to talk Cardinals baseball at 12. Manager Ollie Marmol will be on the show for the first half at least. Going to answer our questions and yours on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Any chance you're flying into Newark anytime soon, Amy?
No.
Any chance you're flying out of it? You don't want to do that either.
Uh-oh.
Because you might have some issues. You've probably heard of what's been happening at the Newark airport in New Jersey. In
fact, well, we talked about it yesterday.
I know you know.
Yeah.
And that is, that whole thing is really, truly unbelievable.
It's getting worse. As more details come out about it, it is definitely getting worse.
Here's a detail that I did not hear until much later.
Okay.
This is a conversation. This is air traffic control speaking to a flight, and they are telling the flight basically that they have no idea where they are because the radar had gone down for about a minute and a half, and there was a story in the New York Post that it was something about a burnt wire or something happened, a shorted wire. And the radar went down for a while and communication went down for a little bit with all these planes in the sky, and air traffic control couldn't find them. And here's an exchange that happened with ATC and the pilot.
We lost our radar and it's not working correctly. Radar service terminates, squawk VFR, green change approved. If you want a Bravo clearance, you can just call the towers when you get closer.
Okay, I'll wait for that frequency from you, okay?
Okay, no, just squawk VFR, look up the tower frequencies. We don't have a radar, so I don't know where you are.
We don't have a radar. I don't know where you are. Imagine
that's the air traffic controller.
Yes.
Talking to the pilot, saying, we don't know where you are.
A commercial airline with people in it.
So they just circled. What in the world do you do? How do you circle if they don't know where you are? So what happened?
They made it eventually because the radar did come back, but it was still spotty, apparently. But this is...
What is going on?
They're understaffed. I know they moved their operation to Pennsylvania because they were understaffed. And that happened at some point last year. But there is an air traffic controller shortage in the country right now. They can't find enough people to do it.
This has to be... And again, we're taking politics out of it because this does not have something to do with the current administration or I guess the previous administration in the sense of they're just looking for workers. Because this is not part of DOGE cuts or anything like that. This was an issue that was building, correct?
Correct. There had been a problem before, yes.
Yes. So my question is how long, who knew that we were headed for the condition that we are now where we're short on air traffic controllers, equipment's not working, a couple of aviation incidents so far. Like somebody had to know that things were thinning out, that we were splitting hairs when it came to landing all of these planes.
Certainly somebody had to, yes. And I don't know who that person is and who should be responsible for it.
People in the industry had to know. Pilots know. Pilots aren't dumb. They know what's going on.
Well, because the air traffic controllers are getting burnt out.
Yeah.
And something like 20% of them walked off the job at Newark last week, which exacerbated the problem, which has made it worse because you're already understaffed. And then you have a bunch of them walk out because they're overworked. They are overstressed. They're probably underpaid as well. And that is a highly stressful job. Imagine all the pressure that is on your shoulders, knowing that you have to...
Make sure planes don't crash?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that if they do, because you said something wrong, you're literally responsible for a couple hundred deaths.
What if we all have bad days. You don't pay attention half the time. You'd be a terrible air traffic controller. They'd be like, pilot, coming in, over. And you'd be like, yeah, okay. And you would respond without listening. Because you get distracted by your phone.
I don't know, but I think that I have a difficulty getting distracted by my phone. And so sometimes I'm not listening to what you're saying.
Okay.
Did you like that?
No. Nobody liked it, Ronj.
That's Amy Marks Kors.
Parenting hacks. Tell them what they need to know.
Oh, bro. I saw this thing on TikTok.
Y'all, bro? What'd you see, bro?
Bro, I saw this thing on TikTok. Parents were being solicited for their hacks. This happened a little bit ago, but it's too good. I want to get to it anyway.
Yeah.
And parents were were talking about the things they do to manipulate their children into doing what they want them to do, which I think is kind of funny. And we will discuss some of them when we come back on KMOX. Pretty much everybody listening here, and I guess everyone with the exception of Amy and Pajeski and me, listening. Listening. And
pretty
us.
Pretty much everyone here.
Yeah.
Except for you, me.
Well, then Frank. Frank's got kids.
He's not listening.
He is. He nodded in approval. But all of you with kids, I know this for a fact because I've seen it happen. You're manipulating them.
Well.
You manipulate your children to get them to do what you want them to do. Because
when you say it that way, it sounds malicious.
Yeah.
It's not manipulating. It's.
Yes, it is.
Strategies, it's parenting tactics.
It's called manipulation. It's a form of persuasion. And so
there
we know.
A form of persuasion.
Which is also manipulation. You get your kids to do things you want them to do or not want them to do. And you do that by manipulating them.
Okay.
And we get it. We get it, right? We would like to know, first of all, tell us a thing that you have done with one of your sons or daughters or all of them or their friends, whatever. And you thought it was a particularly good and clever way to get them to do what you want, even if you had to lie to them. So there was a person on TikTok who offered up a parental hack, is what she called it. And then so people started to offer theirs and things that they have done. And this has been seen by millions of people. And here is an example. This is a contribution from somebody named Marissa, who says, my mom used to tell us she was allergic to loud noises. So when she was overstimulated, she would say she was having an allergic reaction. It worked until a doctor asked me if any allergies ran in the family. So you get your kids to shut up by telling them you have an allergy, and then when they are loud, your allergies act up, which I think is totally brilliant.
That's pretty funny.
Here's another one. And this is very niche, by the way, but I love it. Our parents told us that whining was illegal in Cape Cod. This is where we vacationed when I was a kid. And when we would hear sirens, they would say that meant someone must have been whining. And we believed them for years.
It's so specific.
It really is. We used to vacation in Cape Cod. And my parents said that there's a law in Cape Cod. You can't whine.
I love how they didn't just say that whining was illegal in Cape Cod, but that when sirens would go by, like, well
must have been a whining child. Isn't that great? This one I think is just absolutely fantastic.
Okay.
Whenever it's bedtime and the kids are still stuck to Netflix or something like that, I change the language to Greek or Polish and tell them they don't understand because they're too tired and it must be bedtime.
It's like totally gaslighting.
It's so great because kids are dumb. They don't know any better.
Kids are dumb. Kids are morons.
Oh, my mom's allergic to loud noises. Oh, it's so great.
The changing it to Greek.
This one is really funny. This is from Sasha. She says, my mom hid all of my dolls and stuffed animals and said they ran away because my room was dirty. Then they sent a postcard from another kid's clean room. And when I cleaned my room, the dolls came back.
Oh, that's so sad.
Your parents went and bought postcards and wrote, hey, I'm in another kid's room right now. They keep their room clean. I like it here. If you want me to come back, better clean your room. Like, how dumb do you have to be to believe that?
They're children.
Oh, you got to be pretty stupid to believe that.
And so, aww.
These poor kids.
I know.
Told the kids that, this is from Elle, told the kids that Santa / the Easter Bunny / the Tooth Fairy had to follow OSHA standards for workplace safety.
Yeah.
They would not come into the room if it was a mess because of tripping hazards.
What's funny is that the kid is young enough to believe that, but old enough to know what OSHA is.
Well, it's the occupational safety. They want to make sure that everybody's workplace is safe.
Union household, probably. Most likely was a union household.
That's very likely. This is how they tricked their kids into helping them clean the house. Here's one. We did Cinderella Sundays. We cleaned all morning. Mm-hmm. Then they wore their princess dresses to our fancy candlelit dinner, followed by a dance party ball.
Whoa.
So the kids helped them clean the house because they thought it was part of a party.
But it ended up being part of a party.
I guess they did reward them.
It was real. My mom, if we got in trouble, and I remember this so clearly, we were back in the station, in the back of the station wagon. I guess my sister and I had been grumbling and arguing. And so we were like, that's it. When you get home, you're both going to go in your rooms for 20 minutes. And if you don't remind me when I get home, you're going to have to sit there for twice as long. Because she knew she would forget. And we would always remind her. We're like, Mom, remember, we have to sit for 20 minutes. And she would just say, because if you don't remind me, you're going to have to sit there twice as long.
I think this is a pretty common one. My parents did it to my friends and me when we had a sleepover for New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we didn't understand time zones because we were stupid. So the ball drops in New York at 11.
Yeah.
And the deal was we could stay up until the ball dropped,
mm-hmm.
till midnight. Then we had to go to bed.
But,
and of course, it was 11 p.m. Yeah. because we didn't understand that New York was an hour ahead. But they set all the clocks ahead.
Matt, were you ever gaslit?
Yeah, my dad would say whenever the ice cream man drives by and he's playing a little song out of the van, that means he's out of ice cream.
He did not.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Did it work?
I don't know.
The music means he's out of ice cream. Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Here's one. We have pet fish, and I told my kids that the fish are Santa's secret spies all year long to make sure they are behaving. When they get crazy, I whisper, the fish are watching. They love and they fear the spy fish.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, parents will say anything to get their kids to shut up and do what they want. Is this how difficult it is to raise kids? That you have to lie to them?
It's way more difficult than that.
It sounds awful.
It's more difficult than you imagine. One parent said that he told his kids that Chuck E. Cheese was only open on your birthday.
I mean, how dumb do you have to be to believe that?
Well, it makes sense. You only go there for birthday parties, so it's only open, for birthday parties.
Well, Dad, how's this even a viable business plan? That means they're only open one day a year. That's the only question you have to ask, kid. It's not that hard. My mom told me and my brothers that if we hid from her in the clothing racks at stores, mm-hmm. the employees would take us and turn us into mannequins.
I have a friend. I think this one is terrible because it's traumatizing, but I have a friend, and whenever her kids would like act up, they would just say, well, the man is going to come.
The man?
Yes.
Who does this?
My friend used to do that to her kids and say, well, I wouldn't do that. The man
the
is not
man?
Gonna like it. And they'd be like, no, don't tell the man.
That's scary.
I know, it's scary. And I was like, well, who is the man? She's like, well, we never
specified.
He's
the one who's been keeping us down.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. She goes, we never specified. It was just this vague, like, well, the man is going to come if you don't pick up your stuff. And I said, that is traumatizing. And she said, in retrospect, they probably shouldn't have done that.
It's terrible. For the rest of your life, you're worried about the man. You don't even know what the man is.
No, they didn't know. They didn't know what he was going to do, who he was. Just like, I wouldn't do that. The man is not going to like it.
Another submission to this TikTok. My daughter fights sleep like a Roman gladiator because she has chronic FOMO.
Mm-hmm.
So we brainstorm something fun to do in our dreams together so she ends up in a hurry to meet dinosaurs or something.
Oh, that's adorable. A great idea.
Similar to the man, if my sister and I were acting up around November, December, near Christmas time, my mom wouldn't say anything. She'd just start singing to herself, Santa Claus is coming.
That worked?
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, that's not, it is manipulation.
Yeah.
Because it's planting a little seed, and that's not bad.
I might lose out on some toys.
That's
or get coal.
I really like that. This one says, mm-hmm. when my daughter was little, she wanted to say swear words. So we told her swear words are for adults, but she can make up her own for kids. She chose Stuart. This traffic is a real Stuart.
That's actually really amazing.
That was pretty adorable.
I might steal that.
Oh, my gosh. Is this really what y'all are doing with your kids?
Did you see the one about the veggies?
About the broccoli and all that?
Well, I told my kids that veggies were grown-up food,
mm-hmm.
and I would put some on my plate, my husband's plate, and I would say, okay, this food is just for grown-ups, but babies can't have any.
Oh,
my
God.
And then their kids would say, I'm not a baby! And like, well, yeah, you are. You can't have any. You're not old enough. And then they would say, I'm not a baby! And then she would say, okay, and then put the veggies on their plates.
That is so brilliant.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Oh, my God. I love that. If I ever have a child, which probably not going to happen, but if I did, that's what I would do, because it's the scarcity and it's the I can't have it that makes you really want it. Great, great call, kids.
This mom said her kids were afraid to get vaccinated, so she told them the whole time that getting a shot in your eyeball was the most effective way to get vaccinated. So when the nurse said, we can give you a shot in the arm, the kids were relieved. Oh my gosh. That's terrible.
Oh my God.
That's terrible.
That is really awful. Oh my. All right. Let us know if you do that with your children. Give us some of your submissions. 314-436-7900. Text them into the show. You can call in if you want to do that. Or, super easy, get the Odyssey app, which is the thing that you use to listen to the show on your phone. And from the app, you can send us a message. It's really easy. It's a voice message. You record it and send it over. And maybe we will play it here. 104.1 FM, KMOX. We've asked you for some of your submissions and how you have manipulated your children into doing what you want them to do. This texter to 314-436-7900 says, this is an old classic. You wrap empty boxes at Christmas time and you throw them in the fireplace when the kids act up. I've never heard of that.
What?
Yeah.
That's so cruel.
So the kids act up. You walk over to the tree. You take one of the presents and go, well, throw it in the fire.
That's terrible.
I think that is brilliant.
No, it's awful.
My gosh.
This lady said when her daughter was a toddler, she told her that Target was a store that had a toy museum. So you could buy clothing and household supplies and groceries, but the toys are not for sale. It's a toy museum to keep kids busy while their parents shop. It works like a charm.
Come on, dude.
She asks if we can still visit the toy museum.
Is that one from the Parental Hacks story?
This is from a BuzzFeed Parental
That's from
Hacks
a BuzzFeed?
Story.
Yep. Oh, my God. I kind of like that one. I guess you just have to do whatever you have to do to make it work.
Yeah.
This one from, I believe this is from John in Dallas, says, this is a little off topic, but the older neighbor kid who used to give me rides to school in the morning would tell me that stop signs with the white outlines around them meant they were optional.
I've heard that one from my dad.
You have?
Yeah. Because they're all, I mean, obviously they're all outlined in white, but my dad said that as a joke. I mean, he didn't want me doing that, obviously, but he said as a joke to me. Yeah.
That's a dangerous joke.
Yeah.
Was it because you would see him roll through it and then think, Dad, you're supposed to stop?
No, I don't think you really notice that they are all outlined in white. So you notice the first one, you're like, huh, I guess this is a different one.
That's funny.
I don't know.
This is a...
I just read one.
Okay, I'll do this one. When it was a beautiful weekend day, the kids were all inside playing video games or watching TV, so I would walk outside and turn off the circuit breaker to the entire house. They thought we had a power outage, and they would magically go outside and start playing. We finally told them we were doing this when they were in their 20s.
Good. I wonder how they reacted to it. That's really
That's
good stuff.
That's commitment to the bit,
yes.
though. Because the parents don't have electricity either.
I like this one a lot.
Okay.
It's pretty harmless, but I love the manipulation of this one. This was a submission to that TikTok we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And this is from Jan, who says, when my friend's teens acted up, instead of grounding them, the mom would ground herself. For example, she would say, I'm sorry, I would love to drive you to the mall, but unfortunately, I'm grounded.
That's pretty good. That's amazing. I'm grounded.
I need to know if kids are really this difficult that you have to do this.
This woman said when her
Please let me know.
When her children were young, she didn't want to have to clean up ketchup, mustard, and ranch and stuff from the car seats and from the cars when they went through the drive-thru. So when they would go through to a fast food place, she told them that condiments were for dine-in customers only.
Oh.
So she didn't have to clean everything up.
Oh my gosh.
That's pretty good.
That is really fun.
Yeah. No, kids are...
Please.
They are wonderful, and they're more difficult than you're imagining.
Send me a text message. Sell kids to me. I don't mean like sell me kids. Sell me the idea of children. I want you to tell me that it's not as bad as what these are suggesting. These submissions are suggesting to me that they are so difficult you have to make up outlandish things.
This is from someone who was gaslit as a kid. It said, I was on a flight where a kid saw the button for calling a flight attendant. I didn't know what it was, but I was thinking about pressing it. So I asked his dad what it did. And the dad said, it opens a trapdoor under your seat and drops you from the bottom of the plane.
Oh, no. Why would you do
that? So
that
we wouldn't press the flight attendant button.
We have Robert, who is watching us on YouTube and says, well, this show has been a real Stuart. That's not nice.
That's not nice.
Robert.
Well,
why would you say something like that?
I think the parenting hacks are pretty funny.
I love this very much.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and let me know. Maybe I'm wrong about kids. Maybe they are a whole lot of fun and you don't have to make up all these outrageous lies to get them to behave.
Well, I don't know. Oh, hey, I did have a quick house.
Speaking of behave.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier when we were talking about turns of phrase or words that people use wrong and it annoys us. The same Robert said that are you being haved is some sort of version of behave.
Oh, that that's the one
bothers
he doesn't
him.
Like, yeah.
Yes, it bothers
well,
him.
It's not
I've
real.
Never heard that before. Are you being haved?
I haven't either. Hey, quick question.
It's are you behaving?
People listening, you said Ali Marmol, you'll have him on.
Yeah, he's
they
coming up in a few
comments.
Minutes.
Where do people comment on that?
Oh.
If they have questions for the manager.
Oh, yeah. So YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, find us at KMOX Sports. If you go to YouTube and just search Gas House Gang, you'll find it. You'll find the show. And you can comment right there. We will get to your questions. You can text your questions for the manager at 314-436-7900. Voice messages to the manager, Ali Marmol, directly from the Odyssey app. Go ahead and record them and send them over, and we will try to get to as many as we can. Ali Marmol joins the Gas House Gang next, but Chris and Amy, we will be back tomorrow at 9 o'clock. We'll start the show again ahead of Cardinals baseball, today game tomorrow. So anything you missed is on the Odyssey app. Chris and Amy tomorrow at 9. The Gas House Gang, Bernie Miklas, Tom Ackerman, Chris Ranji, and manager Oliver Marmol next.